رحمك يا رب، رحمك يا رب العباد رجائي ورضاك قصدي، استجب لي دعائي. رحمك يا رب العباد رجائي ورضاك قصدي، فاستجب لي دعائي. وحماك أبغي يا إلهي راجيا منك الرضا، فجد بولائي.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Respected viewers, salamu alaikum and welcome to the show. In this show, we aim to answer those difficult questions on religion that you have yet to find answers for. Those puzzling queries that sometimes don't allow us to sleep, and those questions that you've asked and nobody has found answers for them yet, nor in books, nor speaking to people. Inshallah, we aim with the help of Allah and the presence of scholars from the Hawza Ilmi of Qum, we aim to go to the core of the question and dig out the answer, inshallah. For this, in today's session, we're joined by Sheikh Salim Yusuf Ali and Sheikh Amin Rastani, both from America. Sheikh Salim, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Thank you very much for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be here, thank you.
Sheikh Amin, thank you very much for being with us.
Assalamu alaikum to you. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much.
Now, sometimes youth ask questions that are borderline. They ask questions that adults feel like, I don't want to answer this question. This is a question that is very sensitive. But sometimes we feel that these youth, when they ask these questions, they have sincerity. They really want to know the answer for this question. And it troubles them. So we should reject them in this question. We should try and answer them in the best way we can, inshallah. So today's question is one of those questions. Now we know the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam and the prophets, they're all infallible. Allah has given them a station by which they don't commit sin. They're free from committing any mistake, any error, anything that will lead them towards the hellfire. Now my question is, and I'm sure a lot of youth have asked this question, so why didn't I become infallible? Why didn't Allah give me infallibility? That would have prevented me from going to hell. Why did Allah choose Imam Ali or Imam Hassan to become infallible and thus lead them towards paradise? Now, I know infallibility is necessary for them to be leaders, for them to be absolute role models. But that leads them towards paradise, whilst I don't have this station and I could go to hell because of that.
Yes. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you for your very, very well put introduction, first of all. Yes, there are lots of questions out there, little itsy bitsy questions that are always on kids' minds, on the Muslim youth that are out there. And there's different ways, of course, to answer these questions. Inshallah, what we're trying to do is answer these in a way that they can understand in a more simplistic form. At the same time, something that's effective in their understanding of what's really going on. Now, infallibility, I'm going to let you in on a little secret here. This question, of course, I've gotten this question a lot, and it was a question that I had when I was a kid too, okay? And it's justified. I mean, if there's going to be some people out there, some elite people out there, that in no way will go to hell, all right? Allah has chosen them. then what gives? I mean, why wasn't I chosen? I also don't like to go to hell. So like, why didn't Allah choose me? Alright? This is a question a lot of people ask. To the extent that when like a kid dies, you'll see some of them saying, wow, what a lucky kid. Why? Because he died without any sins. Okay? Now, of course, this is good. The whole notion of trying to leave this world without any sins on our shoulders. But at the same time, it shows that this person really hasn't even understood the whole purpose behind us coming here, to reach perfection. Perfection happens after bulugh, after becoming duty-bound, and carrying out those duties. And Allah has brought us here for that. Now, we're going to try to dissect this a little bit, this little question. Okay, it's not that complicated actually, but if you don't get an answer for it, yes, it'll eat away at your iman eventually.
Sure.
Alright, the question itself has a fallacy in it. Okay, why didn't Allah make me ma'soom so that I don't go to hell? First of all, who says you're going to hell? Okay, Allah brought us here with willpower, gave us all this free will. And we have it's our choice to choose which way we're going to go. Okay? That's one. Who says we're going to hell, first of all? Okay, so not being ma'soom does not equal going to hell or not going to hell. No, it has nothing to do with that. These are two separate concepts.
Okay.
That's one. Two, a lot of times you feel that, yes, we're not ma'soom, we commit sins in our lives. A lot of times you feel that the person who's asking this question, their tone implies this, that since I have sinned, there's no way out. It's over for me. Okay? This kind of borders on some other faiths where they say that we have original sin, there's no escape from it, and there other sacrifices have to be made, etc. You guys know what I'm talking about. Now, is that the case with Islam? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has and the hadith have really relieved us of this pain and agony that we have always, this ongoing thought that I have these sins on my back. What am I going to do? Alright? It starts like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, قُلْ لِعِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ or قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبِ جَمِيعًا. Alright? He makes it very easy actually. Of course, we're not giving any excuses to anybody to, you know, relax and slack off. No, none of that. None of that. We want to be serious here. But Allah is saying, listen, I created you. I know how you are. You're going to commit sins. So He tells the Prophet, He says, tell those servants of mine, لِعِبَادِي يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا, who have wronged yourselves. He doesn't say wronged me. You have wronged yourselves, okay? Because you haven't made the best choice for yourself in sinning. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. When you open the risalas, the risala amaliyas, right in the beginning, the ulama have listed the great sins. Sin number one, greatest sin number one, ash-shirku billah. Alright,
sure.
What's number two? Al-ya's min rahmatillah. Al-qunut with a ta' min rahmatillah. Meaning losing hope in Allah's mercy. This losing hope in Allah's mercy does wonders for shaitan. That's why it's number two on the list. Allah says, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبِ جَمِيعًا. I forgive sins, all of them. And of course, once again, this is in no way a pretext for us to sin, of course. Okay, I'm presuming that the youth understand that. But at the same time, Allah says, you're trying, you're failing, get back up. Don't lay down. I always say this. Don't lay down. You fall, get back up. And that's why ahadith also say, أَتَّائِبْ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. Okay, I've said this before, I think, maybe even on this show. A vase that breaks, when you put the pieces back together, use glue to put those pieces back together, of course, someone who looks at that vase, he'll see the cracks. But this hadith is saying, no, that vase is coming back up again, as if it wasn't broken to begin with. أَتَّائِبْ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ, a person who repents is like one who hasn't even sinned. That's how it works in Allah's system. It's not like this worldly human system that we have going on in this world. No, it's not like that at all. Allah is transcendent. The way He does it is really transcendent. Now, this is one reason why a lot of people are like, why wish I was ma'soom so I wouldn't even have to deal with all this in the first place. It's not like that. It's not that hard. Okay? Now, repentance and how to repent, that's another story, but it's not that complicated either. To regret what you've done and to ask Allah for forgiveness and to have a resolve not to do that again, that's what repentance is all about. It's not that hard either. People complicate repentance as well sometimes. That also backfires. But moving on now, why didn't Allah create me as ma'asum? Question. A little scenario here. And this is something one of the ulama would always say when they would ask him this. They would ask him, why weren't we given isma? Why weren't we given infallibility? And in parentheses here, infallibility doesn't mean that one cannot sin, as if he's, as in the sense that he's forced. Okay, he has no choice but not to sin. No, that's not what infallibility is about. Our ulama have also explained what that is. It's a free choice of them, but they always make the right choice. Now that's another story. But this alim, he would always say, let's, for example, say that you have, I don't know, $1 million, for example, $100,000, whatever. Alright, you have a great sum of money. It's yours. You worked for it hard and you earned it. Now, there's 10 people in this room. I want to give, out of these 10 people, 2 of them, I want to give them half of this money. It's my money, right? I want to give it to these 2 people. Let's say that this choice of my choice out of these 10 people, the reason I chose these 2, there's no reason behind it. It's just purely random. Okay, it's a random choice of just these 2. I just want to give it to these 2 for no reason at all.
Sure.
Now, we're going to talk about this randomness later. But now, for now, I want to give it to these 2 people. Now, there's 8 other people who aren't going to get anything. Can they object? Okay? Can they object? Is it against justice for me not to give to those 8? If they have money in their pockets and I take some of the money out of their pockets, yes.
That's injustice.
That's injustice. But I'm not touching anything that related to them. I'm just adding to 2 other people.
That's not injustice.
All. It's mine. I give it to whoever I want.
But isn't that against mercy?
All right. Now, we're going to move on now. We just want to put this stage aside. Okay, put this stage behind us, that this isn't injustice. Some people say it's not even just on Allah's part to give to these 2 and not give to the rest. No. So it's not injustice. It makes sense too, through this example. Now, Allah's mercy. Okay, that's another story now. If Allah's going to give to them, why didn't He give to us? That's a kalami issue. That goes back to us not having the capacity for Him to give it to us. Okay? That's another story. I don't want to even get into that.
Sure. So then, before you move on, let's come back a bit backwards. You said that through forgiveness, because, I mean, we feel that, okay, if I was infallible, then I wouldn't have any sins. And you said, okay, fine, but forgiveness will remove all my sins. So does that mean that through forgiveness, I can reach a station that the Ahlul Bayt will have?
You can. There's some ulama, okay, very few, who used to say, or you want to go on?
No, carry on.
Who used to say that I haven't sinned. I read a story once from one of these great ulama in the past, and he was saying, or someone was relating on from him, that he had said, I haven't sinned in my life. Okay, let's move on from ulama. Let's say Bibi Zainab, she never sinned in her life. Bibi Ma'suma, who's in Qom, she never sinned. They're not sinners. But isma is something else, okay? We have different types of isma. Yes, isma from sin is that minimum of isma. Yes, there's others who weren't one of the imams, weren't the prophet, who had that high level of isma. The lowest level is the sinning, okay? That high level, Allah gives to only a few, alright? And as I said, even if it was going to be random, it was still okay. Because it's something Allah has, Allah gives to whomever He desires. But the whole thing is that, the whole story here is that it's not random. Okay? Allah chooses. Okay? Chooses why? Because I'll bring some examples. Where Allah, you can tell that Allah is choosing because of something that person had. Okay? For example, in the ziyarat of Bibi Fatimah al-Zahra, salamu alayha, we read that, Ya mumtahanu. امتحنك الله قبل أن يخلقك فوجدك صابرة. Allah says, in this ziyara, the imams who have taught us this ziyara, they're addressing their mother, and they're saying, "Assalam to you, O one who Allah tested, Before he created you, he tested you.
Sure.
He tested you before that. فَوَجَدَكِ صَابِرًا. He found you patient for what was going to befall you. Alright? So Allah isn't doing it randomly. He looks to see who has that capacity. He puts it in that. Puts it in them. Or we have Allah, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, Allah أعلم حيث يجعل رسالته. Allah knows better where to put His risala, to whom to make messenger. He knows.
So basically, you're saying that the infallibility that Allah gave wasn't random.
Mm-hmm.
It was according to the capacity of the person.
Exactly. Yes. One and two. That has nothing to do with us going to hell or not. Infallibility has nothing to do with us going to hell or not. Allah knows where to. The Quran is saying, who to make messenger. So it has to do with Allah's knowledge. What does Allah know that we don't know? Okay? What is going on with Lady Fatima, for example? What has Allah done before that He knows that this person is ready for this? Some even take the verse of the realm of dhar, although personally, it's still, for me, I haven't really come to a decisive conclusion on this. But some even say that this, the verse, it's verse A'raf 172. When your Lord took from the children of Adam, goes on to the verse goes on, it says, and made them bear witness over themselves when Allah did this to them. Am I not your Lord? They said, yes indeed, we bear witness. Okay? Some say that this is also pointing to something that was going on before our creation. Okay? Of course, others say, take this as symbolic and not literal. But in any case, through other reasoning, we've come to the conclusion that it wasn't random, first of all. Second of all, even if it was random, it made sense. It was still just. Third of all, not being ma'soom has nothing to do with our going to hell, not going to hell, our complete perfection or whatever. No, it has nothing to do with that. What we do know now is that we have been put into this world, into this life. This is the path to traverse, and inshallah we have to traverse it. That's what we know. Okay, so bismillah, that's where it starts for us, inshallah.
Okay, we'll have to pause for a break now. So just to summarize very quickly, and I think it does answer the question quite nicely. Well, it really opens up the door, because we really, as you said, need to separate this concept that infallibility means paradise and non-infallibility means hell. It's not like that. We can still achieve perfection, we can still reach paradise and the highest levels of paradise, and even be a state, as you said, like without any sins on our shoulder through tawbah or through striving, basically. And infallibility is something special that Allah gives to His prophets and to the Ahlul Bayt for a special reason, that He knows why He does this.
Just before the break, let me just add a little thing. Sure. That I just remembered. Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli, he said this once, I heard it myself. He said, not going to hell isn't something that one can boast about or be happy about. That's not hard. Reaching those higher levels of heaven, those are what we have to try and strive for. As if it's hard for Allah to take us down. Allah has to find an excuse. These sins and all that, if you repent from them, no, it's not going to be that hard for you. Ayatollah Jawadi said, it's not hard not to go to hell. Alright? It's hard to reach those higher levels of heaven.
Sure. I guess that gives us a boost and a motivation for all of us to strive hard and be positive and confident about our striving towards Allah. So inshallah, we shall come back after the break, and inshallah, pose the question to Sheikh Salim. So stay tuned.
إليك يا رب العباد بإفلاسي وذلي وانفرادي وها أنا واقف بالباب أبكي زمانا ما بلغت به مرادي أتيت إليك يا رب العباد أتيت إليك بإفلاسي وذلي وانفرادي وها أنا واقف بالباب أبكي زمانا ما بلغت به مرادي زمانا ما بلغت به مرادي.
السلام عليكم and welcome back to the show. We were discussing about infallibility and why aren't we given this this station of infallibility. And Sheikh Rasani very beautifully put it that we need to separate these two concepts, that infallibility doesn't, non-infallibility doesn't necessarily mean going to hell. Rather, we should be positive, confident, and Allah has promised that whoever strives will definitely go to paradise. We now move on to Sheikh Salim with a similar question from your point of view, please.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I wanted to thank Sheikh Amin for a very good response to the question that was posed. Whatever comments I have is more just a way of summarizing some of the things he said, and maybe just adding a little point here and there. Sometimes when we think of Isma, we think of it being like a free ride. Okay, like these people were chosen, and now they're just set. Like they're just kind of like riding this, like, you know, easy sort of life, and you know, whenever any sin comes in front of them, like they're kind of yanked away from it, and they just do the right thing, almost as if you and analyze it, almost as if they're robots. They don't have any free will of from themselves. But as Sheikh Amin pointed out, isma doesn't mean that somebody is robbed of their free will. The isma which is granted and which is part of the creation of these special individuals is something which is a power such that they won't make the wrong decision, even though they have that capability. And this is something that we see evidence of in the Quran. For example, in the story of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, the Quran clearly says that in that very difficult and trial that he was placed in, where the wife of the Aziz of Egypt had locked the doors and he was alone with her, the Quran says, فَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَرَّآ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ, meaning that he too would have, you know, had that for her, لَوْلَا, but had he not seen the proof of his Lord, meaning that in that situation, Allah showed him himself. He saw the presence of Allah. And so in that way, Allah is guiding him, and it's not that he's forced. But the other point is that we have to understand the lives of the Ma'asumeen alayhim as-salam was not an easy life. Right? This was not a ticket to like, if you right now, I'm going to sit back and, you know, enjoy the comforts of the dunya. No, they enjoyed their lives and they had a better quality of life than anyone else because they knew how to make the most of their lives. But at the same time, they faced very severe, difficult trials. We have in hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, مَا أُوذِيَ نَبِيٌ مِثْلَ مَا أُوذِيتُ. Like, no prophet has been tried and troubled the way I've been tried. And we have in another hadith, we're told that the people who are tried most out of all the people are the anbiya. And then, ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ, meaning then those like the anbiya and like them as well too. Sure. So we shouldn't, you know, be jealous in that way. And we say that, okay, let's sit back and say that, okay, these other people, they were given all these things. No, it was there because of wisdom, God, divine wisdom, why they were chosen. And it doesn't necessitate them having a free ride. No, they had a lot of challenges, a lot of responsibilities. And it was because of that capability they had to take on this responsibility that they were given that divine gift and created in that way.
So it wasn't an easy task, was he, to have
it? It was an enormous burden and responsibility that they had to carry out. The second point I want to highlight is something that Sheikh Amin alluded to. I just wanted to kind of open that up a little bit more, which is this idea that isma, even though one form of it is where somebody's created with that power, that they're going to stay away from sins, they're not going to make the wrong decision, there is another state of isma which can be acquired. And that is something that is available to everyone. And if we look at the meaning of isma, we say that isma means that Allah is the one who is helping and assisting somebody to stay away from disobedience. And that help is available for anybody who seeks it.
Even if they're not
from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And this is a great inspiration from us. When we look at the Ahlul Bayt and we see them being such devout and perfect servants of Allah, then we need to aspire to be like them and to gain that isma from Allah. Because there's no way that we can fight the shaitan and fight the dunya and fight the dunya which is haram and fight those impulses and the base desires that we have without the help of Allah. So we always have to be seeking that isma from Allah.
Sure.
Right? We say in Dua al-Sabah, for example, Oh Allah, if I were to lose your help and I was to be deserted of your help from this muharabah between me and the shaitan, then there's no way I would succeed. You know, I have an enemy. the only way I can, and this enemy is attacking me from ways I can't even see him, right? But there is one way which I can be safe from that enemy, which is to take the help of Allah. So this is something that we have to sort of, rather than looking at other people and saying, being jealous, we have to take inspiration from that and say, okay, how can I also take part in that divine blessing to my own capacity?
So this station is available for us as well, basically.
Well, it's not the same station, but because that one was given, and this one is going to be something which is acquired. But the point I want to make is that one practical way of attaining our isma is given to us in the Quran. Allah says, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, inna salata tanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkar." That the salah prevents one from falling into sin and deviance. Okay, those things which are evil. Allah has given us a guaranteed way. If we can do a salah, a prayer, the way that Allah wants us to do that prayer, the result of it is that we'll see that we're protected from sin. And we're told in hadith that one of the ways of telling whether your prayer was accepted or not, is to go back and see, between one prayer and the other prayer, did you sin or not? Now, let's say that somebody is sinning and they're still praying. Does that mean that we should give up prayer? No. But this is a challenge for us, that Allah has told us that such a station is available. He's given us a way to access it. Let's work harder at doing that prayer the way it ought to be prayed, staying away from sin with our own help and taking that with our own resolve and taking the help from Allah, and we too will enjoy and partake in that blessing to our own capacity.
Sure. So this completely turns it around, basically. Rather than being jealous of what the Ahlul Bayt have, we should really look up to them and say, look, I want to be like them.
Yes.
And they've told us, and Allah has told us, that it's possible to achieve this station. Right. As mentioned, very beautiful, this through salah we can achieve a station where we're protected from sins.
That's right.
Can I add something here a little bit?
Sure.
Something too. One of the great ulama, who was also one of the urafa, he used to say, this isma that you were talking about how it's obtainable for even normal people, where you reach a stage where you see that you can't sin anymore because you sense Allah's presence. And of course, this is achieved through everyday practice of staying away from those little haram things that are out there, and wajibat, observing those, every day practicing this, every day repeating this, to an extent that it becomes second nature for you. It's not that hard for you to stay away from these anymore. Slowly you grow. This iman inside grows. As it grows, you reach a stage where this, the ulama say from the Quran, they say you reach an-nafs al-mutma'innah. Okay? That nafs al-ammara bis-su' that Prophet Yusuf speaks about. He says, "Oh Allah, that my nafs is ammara bis-su'. It commands me to go towards evil." Slowly it changes to a nafs al-lawwama. Okay, the reproaching nafs or self. Where you reach a stage where if you do something wrong, you scold yourself for it. Slowly, through practicing, and you may fall during the process, you get back up through tawbah, through asking Allah. This great alim would say that when Allah sees you falling but getting back up, eventually He will take your hand. When He sees that you want Him, you reach that nafs al-lawwama. After that, in the nafs al-lawwama, you're still sometimes sinning, but when you do, you're upset and you're scolding yourself. You reach a stage where you reach a nafs al-mutma'inna, which means the tranquil soul or tranquil self, nafs, where you're not sinning anymore. You feel Allah's presence because you have practiced this throughout your life. You reach a stage where you can't sin anymore because you see Allah as if. It's as if you feel, you see Him, you feel Him, you sense Him. This is for everybody. This isma, you can also call it an-nafs al-mutma'inna, where Allah says, "Ayyatun nafs al-mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbik." Surah al-Fajr, right? Irji'i ila rabbik radiyatan mardiya. You are happy with Allah. Allah is satisfied with you. Come back to Him. The ulama in Irfan and stuff, they call it and nafs al-mutma'inna, aka that little isma that we were talking about, that's obtainable for everybody, inshallah.
Definitely. Do you want to add anything before the end of the show? I guess it answers the question really well, and it really brings positive thinking, confidence, that actually, rather than looking at the infallibility as a thing that I don't have, as a thing that because I don't have it, I'm going to go to hell, I'm full of sins, this and that, rather we should look at from a very positive angle and say, look, Allah created these infallible people. I want to be like them. I should look at them and feel like, you know what, I can achieve this station as well. I can be a person who, through salah, for example, stays away from sin. I can be a person who got used to so much staying away from sins that now going towards sin is like impossible. It's an infallible station, basically. Achievable for everyone. I guess it really brings like this hope in us that, you know, Allah will forgive us, Allah will help us, and we really can do it. Living in the West, living in the East, wherever we are, Allah is always there. And I guess it's very like a hope, a breeze of hope, basically.
Yeah, it's all about just having that decision. You see people who are overweight, they give up on all the good snacks out there because they have that ultimate goal. You see them making the right decision, making that resolution. Okay, this alim also, he would say that it's all about just having that resolve. That's it. It's over. You make the decision, you'll get there, inshallah.
Sure. Yeah. Well, thank you very much to both of you for a very inspiring session.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for being with us. If there's any comments, questions, suggestions, the email address is displayed again at the bottom of the screen. Please feel free to email. Inshallah, both the scholars will be happy to answer your questions and reply to your emails, inshallah. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
ناديت باسمك يا إلهي يا ضارعا إن لم تجرني فمن يجير بكائي أنت الكريم فلا تدع فلقد عنيت من العباد النائي مالي سوى أعتى بجودك موئل فلئن طردت فمن سواك فلقد رجوتك يا إلهي ضارعا فلقد رجوتك يا إلهي ضارعا بمحمد ألا تخيب رجائي بمحمد ألا تخيب رجائي.